There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. Hello, welcome back to the latest United We Stand podcast. James Young. It's on the way down to Forest, hopefully to see United continue winning in the Premier League, which is something we've not seen at all in the last couple of years, really. Really good feeling speaking to fans. Bueno scoring, not conceding as many goals, and United are above Liverpool in the table. He lost again this week, so we're in a good mood. So we're about halfway through the first half. It's United 0, Forest 0. And as we're saying, it's United are coming forward. There we go. No. Not really creating much, to be honest. Half chance earlier on. Forest have been playing a bit on the counter attack, but not much to report at the minute, to be honest. But I still think United should get something from this game, because I think Forest defensively have been looking pretty shaky, but it's coming forward now, actually. They're just getting a bit more possession in United's half than I'd like them to see. Team at the minute, but you never know with this squad. But they're looking like they've got a bit more resilience in them, which is great to see. And the atmosphere is really good in the away end. A lot of support for Ruben Amorim still. And the time we're saying this is currently second in the table, so let's see.
I think it's been both a little bit. They look quite good, Nottingham, especially on the counter-attack. They're quite strong. So we need to be alert in the back. But when we get it on their half, we play quite good sometimes. So with Cunha, Bruno, Guemo, it looks quite good.
Well, second in the table as well at the time of recording this. So I think most fans would have taken that at the start of the season.
Yeah, definitely. But it's important to keep on going now, really. Very important.
Memories of playing here?
Well, to be fair, I think I had a very good result here. Maybe not at this stadium, but I think we won, was it 7 or 8-1? 8-1, I think it was. Ole Gunnar scored 4. So, yeah, that's a good memory.
And the rest of the season then, you know, what do you think is going to happen? In terms of, you know, they actually give the squad scoring goals and they've got a bit more resilience about them, which is really good to see.
It's very early doors at the moment, but they need to keep on working really, really hard. That's the only thing. Keep on working hard, and then the results might come, and more confidence, and then we can start to look up the table. Definitely.
Have you read much of United We Stand, and you've got a copy?
Yeah, but I didn't have time to read so much now, but I will read it now at half time.
minutes left. United just letting him hit them on the counter attack time and time again. There's still a way back into this because Forrest allowing United to hit them on the break and to create stuff, but making it difficult by putting a lot of players behind the ball, as you'd expect for a Sean Dyche team to do. But still 20 minutes left, so anything can still happen, really. But at the minute, it's still 2-1. United have a corner with about 10 minutes left. Big chance here.
That's it. Go on!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes! So United just equalised. It's 2-2. One of the best finishes I've seen from outside the box. I thought the chance was finished, but no. Right back in this. There's about 9 minutes left to play. Brilliant stuff. It's 2-2, game on.
Cha-ching! When you start a new business, there's a lot to go in on. And it can feel pretty overwhelming, and every day you've got a new decision that needs an answer, whether you're starting off with something new. It just seems that your to-do list keeps growing every day with new tasks, and it can easily begin to overrun your life. Finding the right tool that not only helps out but simplifies everything can be a game changer. And for millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify with its cha-ching sound. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. You can get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates, and Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store to match your brand style. Accelerate your content creation. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product's photography. Get the word out there like you've got a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify is your e-commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping and processing returns and beyond. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business into a cha-ching with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your £1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.co.uk/United. Go to shopify.co.uk/United. Shopify.co.uk/United.
Right, has finished. Manchester United 2, Nottingham Forest 2. Frustrating performance in the end, really. I think United probably could have taken it in the first half. But then Forest, you know, pushed towards the end, nearly nicked a winner as well. Both teams could have won it. But I think last season United probably would have lost that game. So it's good to see them fight back after going 2-1 down, but still a long way off from where they should be under Amorim after nearly 2 years now in charge. But with Blackie, what did you make of that?
Personally, I thought it was poor. I maybe have got too overexcited about the last couple of games. And probably my conversations were a lot higher than they should have been given the rest of the season. But I just thought we had turned the corner because we seem to have found a pattern of play, which allowed the new signings to get the best out of the new signings. But I just felt that they came out second half, all right, and they caught cold. I've not seen the two goals back, so I don't know what happened. But I thought from them taking a 2-1 lead until 10 minutes to go, I thought that we were very, very average. I don't think we had enough movement. I don't think we had any fluid movements and the no links up. And, okay, nobody played particularly badly. There's a great big clamour about this Elliot Anderson. And I get it. And I watched him closely today. And he's almost like a quarterback in terms of he orchestrates everything that they do, and he talks to all the players.
You may.
And he sort of shows everything that is happening. That it's because of what he's doing. And there's us with players pointing and shoving and not like that, you know, saying what people, other people should do, but nobody really, there's, you know, real patterns of play when we're down like that. And yeah, we got back into the game. Yeah, we could have won it at the end, but we should have won it in the end. These are, Forest aren't a good side, and Sean Dyche is not a good manager.
I would have very average manager.
Sorry?
So yeah, I'm really disappointed, and I thought we were off the mark.
It'd be great, isn't it?
But, you know, and first half, yeah, we were good, we were strong, we were nice.
Sold out.
If I had that ball inside, Rollinson, I'm trying to absolutely,
hang on.
You know, you're break the back of the net.
Like
it's up 2-0 half time, it might be game over. But we let them dictate the second half completely, and the pace of the play. With the time they took over throwings, the time they took over free kicks. Yeah,
to be fair,
and it was just typical Sean Dyche, and it went to him and Eddie Howe, the most tedious managers in the league.
Yeah. So, I think that's the thing. I mean, obviously, United were lucky to get an equaliser at the end. It still seems you're struggling to break teams down that are pushing that low block. And I think, especially, you know, Dyche at Forest is going to play that style of football, but it shouldn't be a surprise that the Forest are going to come out and do that. So, you know,
4 weeks to them.
I think until we see back the two goals, I'll try and look for him in a minute. I don't know what went wrong at the back, but we'd seem so in control of the whole game, hadn't we? Well, I mean,
no, we're back,
you know. Joris have got some really good players.
You want the
yeah. They shouldn't be struggling at a bottom towards the bottom of the league. Because they still shouldn't be beating a Manchester United team with the talent that he's got. And the biggest glaring weakness that we've got is the opposite side to when we're in Amag. We're like,
there you go. Ready to lose, name man in the Catalan.
We've got to address that. Well, until we do address that.
Oh, my boy.
We would have gone second, wouldn't we? We're not a team that should be second, but we'd have gone second. Coming up to a break after something next week. So we've got a draw next week. And then you can kick off.
You do.
But we're not. That's a pub, don't we? I know. We've been 3 steps forward. We're 1 step back today. We need to start again. There are promising signs. We are better.
Jerry did it.
Well, that's a game you have to win, realistically.
Yeah, I think it feels still a big problem as well. I mean, in terms of the substitutions, I think there's still a massive
gap. We're getting
more depth in that area. Yeah.
We're getting your summit.
The problem is, probably his feeling is every time he's brought somebody out,
they left him.
It's not seeing how he wants them to play. So we're the reliance on Casemiro.
You don't leave your shit.
Who is quite capable of doing a job against
who like the other
sides like Forest, as long as he doesn't get
booked. I don't found any.
Would you be that? He's not the future.
But he is.
You also now look at the fact that you've got him not trusting Ugarte. He doesn't seem to like Kolimani. Yours and well, what are you going to do? Mason Mount, he seems to want to start Mason Mount. He's now either out of favour or maybe he's not fit again. I don't know, maybe he's going to spend a course at a golf course somewhere and he wasn't really available today. You're right. Will he be able to address it in January? We spent a lot of money in the summer. Let's talk about other players going out, like Zirkzee going out on loan. You know, sometimes you have to play. I like Zirkzee. I think he adds something to the team when he's playing well. So, you know, would it have been worth ringing him on? I don't know, because he gave away before last week. He doesn't trust his subs from having good starting subs when we first came to Old Trafford. So then having diabolical substitutions, we thought we'd turn the corner with him and he knew what was doing, but now he doesn't seem to be making any, and I was surprised at him as well. I know he wants to give him some time, but let's get inside. I didn't think Yarrow was played badly. I know people on here talk about Blackshaw having a good game, particularly first half today. They're not the future of a Manchester United title winning side, are they?
Absolutely.
I don't think Dorgu is, you know.
It's
something got addressed quite quickly. I saw Martinez is back training. He would have something to that back three. because he's passing between the lines.
Like me.
I think this team will find really well.
I don't know.
Biggest disappointment today, perhaps Sesko. I thought Sesko before. I think he fought hard, but he didn't get in any good positions, and the players couldn't seem to find him. So, but there's a lot to work on there. But, you know, a point away if a Paul Forrest side isn't good enough, no matter what you do.
And I think, what did you make of the atmosphere in the away end as well today? Because
I think it started really, really. I think it was good.
45 minutes after.
You know, 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Do you want to ask him about?
Here we go.
He's him falling over on the way in his directional sense.
And the extra hour he added onto the journey up the way down.
So what do you have to add to yourself, Beth?
I looked at the weather forecast and I knew that if I got us there too early, it could be very wet for the people. So I took the executive decision to go the long way round avoid the weather that we see outside here.
Mads, you got 5 minutes?
Yeah. What did you make of that?
Relatively average, I thought. Yeah. I know people thought we were really good the first half. Thought probably the better side, but not nothing special, was it? But
no.
Two goals. I didn't see the first one, but it looks like they both put like pretty scrappy goals. The way out though, like.
Yeah.
Last year, they'd all, after going 2-1 down, they'd probably lost that game 3-1. So at least you had a bit of bollocks to come back and get themselves back in the game and get some form of result.
I mean, you can look at it two ways, can't you? You can either say, well, we've been Liverpool the other week, so we should be able to continue that and beat Forest. But likewise, you're not going to win every game with this squad, you know what I mean? The table's kind of lying a bit.
Yeah, I think they're still fine. They're definitely, you know, imbalanced on. Towards the right hand side and the left hand side doesn't match up to what Ahmad and Mbeumo have. But they're also not a bad side for it. I know they're not starting the season well, they didn't end last season well. But they've got some really, really good players like Hudson Lloyd's a good player, Gib White's a really good player. I mean, Anderson was for me comfortably the best player on the pitch. Right, comfortably used, absolutely brilliant. I think exactly what we missed in midfield, he was exceptional to them. And they got some decent defenders. I think there'll be a lot of teams that come here this season don't win. So I think it's fine. It's not the worst result in the world.
That's just going to make it hard for everyone that they play against. They did the same thing today. That two blocks of four.
Yeah,
it's impossible to break down with 10 minutes left to play to get two goals. You know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You needed a special goal, didn't it, to get back in the game? They look better. We look more confident. I think Weber and Julia have given the team a lot more confidence than they've had in the last 12 months. Although I didn't think Julia had his best game today, but I think this chef. I know they could. And a bit hypocritical, but they conceded a lot of goals. But I think some of the defenders have been very good recently. I think Shaw's and DeLitt have been, especially DeLitt, DeLitt's been our best player this season by quite a distance. And I think since the City game, Shaw's been really, really good. I thought he was excellent today. He was excellent at Liverpool. He was excellent against Slider. So I think the signs are getting a little bit better, but you just need to try and get a bit of consistency.
What do you make of Fernandes dropping deep again? Because there was one point in the second half where he was almost playing in defence again with those long balls, you know.
I mean, it's not where I'd like to see him on the ball, but I think if you put him further forward with Cunha playing, they're getting each other's way. So I think long term, if you want to get to a point where you're going to win the league, then you're probably not going to have Bruno playing as a midfield too with Casemiro. I think we probably got to have both of them out the side.
I know.
And replace them with people capable of running ball game and giving you a bit more consistency on the ball. I think Funes is an unbelievable player. I'm not sure how well he fits in the team, but for now, he's fine. Of course, no one's expecting United to become some first, second, third. We need to come between fourth and seventh, really, and then people probably accept it again. Except for the season. And I think, like I said, they don't need to win every game. Like today's drawn today. To get in the top four, you probably need top five, top six. You probably need to win. Three out of every five games in a couple of draws, and you get in around that says none of the teams coming like Tottenham, Chelsea, Villa.
Newcastle, none of them are consistent either. That's why they. That's why they keep
them.
A rare 3 o'clock kickoff as well on a Saturday.
Really?
Yeah, I think it'll be the last one until January. So. Yeah, it's nice though. It's nice. Nice. Very rare, like you say. I think it was the first one since Bournemouth away. The last game, last away game since 2023. The last time we played away on a Saturday 3 o'clock. Well, nearly 8 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's like four straight home games now. It's ridiculous, like 8 o'clock, Wednesday, Monday. We've got like the most stupid run of kickoff times in the history of football.
Yeah, I think it's only now our next nine games.
It just caught, I mean, a lot of the people in the television world don't see the effort that fans go to come to matches, do you know what I mean? It fucking ruins it for so many people.
And they don't use shit.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's well past the point of ever changing now.
Yeah.
If it was going to stop, people had to stop it 10 years ago. But
yeah.
They're just going to keep doing whatever they want to do. And if you just like them, keep going. So, yeah, if it is.
Yeah, they are. So, have you got anything to add on the shit kickoff times or not?
Yeah, what?
You got anything to add on the shit kickoff times that United have been given?
They're very dangerous.
The amount of money in the game.
The
players. You only have to look at. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the Netflix series.
Which one?
The one about the quarterbacks or the one about the linebackers.
They're
fantastic series.
Was it on a Wednesday?
There was the, I'm trying to remember the name of
Bill Houghton.
When the quarterback, I'm thinking about once they are answer Falcons after many years of what he's done. And they offered him a 4-year contract, age 34, of $180 million. Right. So that's $45 million, dollars a year, age 34. Okay. Now it will sound a massive amount compared to the players that are here. But that's every single one. There's the baseball player. What did he get? Was it
$6 million or something like that? Or
180 million dollars for a year. You're all of a sudden talking about money that only TV can generate. And I think that the football stars here are in Europe who are getting those huge salaries. And they're now looking across the pond because we're in virtually American franchises now in 11 or 12 of our Premier League teams now own my American. If you've got that sort of template of paying your top players that amount, you're not generating that money for those players to your turnovers within your club generally. Yeah, Manchester United can do it. And there are other clubs who will go to Adidas and get a fantastic contract. But generally, it's going to come from TV and TV money.
Super boots.
And the TV now have got a stranglehold because those players are not going to go on strike and say we're being paid too much. If anything, it would always be the opposite, as it has a little bit in the NFL over the last few seasons and baseball, where there's been a little bit of, discussion around about what contract we're getting. So what you've now got is you've got TV totally ruling everything that we do. And the majority of people in the country, if you ask them who aren't match-going fans, actually watch it on a Sunday, watch games at 4:30, 7 p.m. And on a Saturday, maybe at 12:30, it's like having a long week, one of them salesmen won't. You know, we're still struggling in our league. And I watch my league when I can, only certain doors are probably you doing. We've all been in Trafford and other clubs around that were on our last lines that we've always but the majority of people just happy to sit at home. Look at this. I mean, we're on the way home now. You know, there's a couple with laptops and stuff. Watching Tottenham, Chelsea. Then the game tonight is, Saturday night. Villa, Liverpool.
Are you asked about watching other games in the Premier League?
I haven't been on the field. I've never watched any other football. But those are just, if it's on, I will turn it on as for more interest now. I do think betting has a lot to do with it. I think betting, you know, sometimes you just think, oh, I'll watch it. I'll have a football on Netflix. And then I do think that a huge amount of money that goes into gambling, which again is a complete another story. We know the devastation that gambling employs within families and wives and stuff like that. Well, the majority of, you know, people, if you can, it's just one way, you know, five or whatever, and it's basic. And this goes back to the TV and everything like that, about the jeopardy of VAR and how referees, we look at referees. I think the Premier League linesman gets 90 grand basically a year. 90,000 pounds a year for running a line. After we have a skill, get all that. What you're talking about now, referees, and line, you know, and system referees can use some money as well. But of course, some TV money. They're becoming more and more involved in this TV, aren't they? You know, or jeopardy of VAR, work the FBOB, and how we're all going to want to stuff there. You know, the referee's got his hand to his ear as he's trying to block out the sound while he listens from blokes miles away, you know, telling him whether or not they found a real long ago or a disallowed ago. 40 referees have found that they've been gambling usually on matches. No one's saying they're gambling on the match they've been to. Obviously, it's going to be a big problem because again, we go back and say, there will always be a time when it's going to be questioned what decisions have been made and for what reason and why. So I think TV has now put a huge hold in it. When you talk about kickoffs, and I know you asked the question, Lee, going to what you ask people, I think, is if it's just gone on. But the one thing that you've got to say now is that we haven't got a choice. Yeah, I want to get up at 5 a.m. need to go to Tottenham. No, I don't want to go to Tottenham anyway. Horrible new ground to go to. Full of the most over-eager, most ridiculous steering in and things put on you. You know, where you've got the virtual facial recognition to get to the ground. There's another thing coming. Apart from, you know...
Have you seen in Brazil now, you have to show your face as you go into the ground if you're sick.
And it's just, we are going that way. We're cleansing football in a way that we all thought was going to happen at post Hillsborough with the when standing went and all the stadiums came in, we felt that instead of addressing the real problems of football supporters being treated like third-class citizens and leopard almost for going to a game, i.e. grounds not fit for purpose and putting us all in danger, what they actually did was they brought in seats and said, we don't want you in the stadiums anymore. They've had to go back to us for stadiums weren't full. Most grounds are at, you know, attendances we say are up. But there's very few grounds outside the Premier League which are full everywhere. In fact, they're a non-problem. And so actually, you've got to do something. So it's now a TV game, and we have to accept that actually football survives because TV pays it to survive. And we can fight it like some of the Spanish teams did last week when they... was it first 15 seconds that they wouldn't play for because of the games in Miami? The TV companies didn't show them, did they? They didn't start their coverage until 25 seconds, so they took it out. So I think we're up against, we're losing that battle. We got the game called off against Liverpool, and the Super League we thought was gone. I think Real Madrid have now got, this week, I've got to go ahead to sue somebody over that. And also, when I looked at the Champions League last week, and also, it was one big Super League.
Well, yeah.
So they brought it in a back door through another way of doing it.
And also, the Champions League now, it's not the Champions League, because if you finish fourth, you can still qualify.
Yeah.
So if you're the champions of San Marino, you've got to go through six qualifying rounds while playing the competition. So the old style of the European Cup of first place, all the other winners in Europe, knockout, you know, you might play fucking Bayern Munich in the first round, or you might get someone from Andorra. You know, the whole system now is basically rigged in favour of the big clubs completely, you know.
Yeah. I think football-wise, though, now, you know, Newcastle have got to come to United on Boxing Day. I remember, New Year's Eve and all joy at Southampton, 3 o'clock kickoff, you know, and having to race back for New Year's Eve. I remember on a Boxing Day, I'm sure, that... getting up really early on Boxing Day to go down to Chelsea for the midday kickoff. I think we've always been sometimes without United because we are the most popular team. because people want to watch United win it, want to watch us win or lose. We've always had shit kickoff times. We've got more now than probably we ever have. But then everybody has now. And I think, you know, rather than being singled out, I'm just glad that a lot of our Monday nights are actually at home. But if we're going to get a Monday night, it's the worst time in the world to start your week by getting rolling in at 3:30 in the morning, which is just quite Palace away. And said that, what, on the midday kickoff at Palace, you know, I mean, so that's at, what, 4:30?
So. And it's a pain in the arse to get to as well, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we should... I don't know what we do about that, but eventually somebody will say, okay, for televised games, let's make it a certain distance and a certain distance only. I don't think they'll ever do that. Well,
controversially, right, I actually think if they remove the blackout, it wouldn't be a bad thing because you get more games since 3 o'clock on a Saturday. And if you support Yeovil or Stevenage, you're not going to not go and watch them because United are on telly. You're still going to support the team.
Yeah, with so many other games
now.
I mean, how often I had a championship game that all started at 12:30 or all started on an alternative day? It's constant, isn't it? Everything is new. Do you think I can go? I don't know. I think I'm looking towards sort of controversy, worldwide theories and conspiracy theories about having a thing off. The two main things are betting and that is the same with everyone about all the sport that we want. And while the amount of money generated by those two industries is sort and that our players are the rewards that they do for it, I think we will never have that. We'll never have that win again. And I mean, they'll turn around to us and say, well, what you choice is, you do not have to go to the game. You know that's impossible because you go. But once you get out of the habit of going, I think you're probably happier for it and you don't miss as much weather. Because they'll say, well, you can watch it on telly anyway. And you're right about all those games. There's no one I know, apart from myself, obviously, who doesn't have a dodgy fire stick and watches every game they've got to watch of every sport in any country that they want. I mean, I've never got one, first officer. So, whether you're watching, the baseball last week or
if you wanted to watch the Women's FA Cup first round illegally, you could, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you watch any game you want at any time. And that's where TV wins every single time. Because while you're watching, you look at the adverts coming up. And in America, they don't, all the fans don't these things. Sponsoring every 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because they started the game so much.
Have you ever legally watched the American coverage of the Premier League?
You see it sometimes. Yeah. They've got some good pundits,
But I mean, it's so obvious. They're like, their coverage of it, every instant replay has a sponsor. There's an ad break every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, even in the game, there's ad breaks that appear on the graphics and everything. It's like, it's clear the way it's going.
It's the other way. It can go. It's because of the money involved in it. I mean, the American coverage is good. I mean, listen, what's like Danny Higginbottom, Danny Friend of United, Miss Downs, and the local lads to us, and I'm down there all the time. Learned how to be a great wonder by being a student of the game, loving to watch, And again, Tom Giles used to come on the coach with us, and sadly passed a good friend of mine from years ago. You know, his daughter is covering the American and she will tell you about the money involved in America and American sport, because over there they don't see the majority of their sports as spectator sports anymore. It's almost like a privilege to be able to go to some of those games. And you can see, and for me, this is my worry about new ground. I don't want a new ground. I don't think the pub have asked us properly whether we want one. I've said all along, simple yes, no, do you want a new ground for the Shahags? But it was convoluted the way it was done. I know the majority of people, and most of the fans, I do not want a new footballer. We don't think we need one. And it's all right, hard for me, and we can get lots more people in because of big waiting list for season to get the fans. But that's not what's going to be brought in. What's going to be brought in is what I could do. Get the people to watch ACAPs for games down the side with huge amounts of money because they will done once or twice a season and spend £100 plus in a shot and do everything else like that. And they'll throw behind the goal a couple of, you know, a couple of stands behind each goal. Well, they'll go, well, you've got your cheap seats there, and your cheap seats might be relatively well priced. One of the few of us be able to fit in there. Because the packages down the side will be the ones that really, you know, I bring in the money in. So we're having no illusions that the future is the way the American model of benches. But, you know, it's not Wimbledon or Wembley where you buy a seat and the right to buy a ticket by putting £2,000 out or whatever. That's what we brought in at Old Trafford and some of the other songs.
Yes.
So you have to put down a one sum. Be able to have the right to buy your own season ticket. And then if you don't worry, you're not going to lose that right to buy it next time. Well, your ticket comes back to the club and we sell it for a huge amount of money. You know, and we'll dress it up as, you know, you can go to a hotel, meet an old player, watch an old game on online, have a pie, here's your programme, that's £350 that trade.
Well, I live in Stratford, right?
Yes.
20 minutes from the ground. I'm their worst customer because I leave at 2:40, go to the match and go home again.
Yeah.
Same
with me. I never leave. Lucas said we never leave before the final whistle.
Yeah.
We walk to the top of the stairs before the final whistle blows. We're back in our house for 40 minutes, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. And that's the car park and free and shit. What's the same on the way there? Yeah. We try and live an hour before. We're always like leaving off, and we used to walk in, singing, you know, and the bats kicked off. Don't want me there because I don't spend any money there, whatever like that. We're hard to get rid of, but they're finding more and more ways of getting rid of, you know. So today, that there was. On ticket checks again, we were told there's going to be no more ticket checks all season. And, you know, because I do this course and, you know, can organise I'd say we will show and the compass and stuff like that. We used to go on meetings just to make sure everything's all right. And it's never been brought up at any of the games that we're going to be taking trips. So these are decisions made late, which, under the pretense of having a look to see if the right people have got the ticket. Well, I'll tell you now, the right people have got the ticket, but for the ones that got off their arse and got to a football ground, and done everything they can to get a ticket to go and watch their team play.
Nice.
Right? So don't tell us that the tickets are going to the wrong hands when actually there are loads and loads of lasses outside who are doing everything they can to find a ticket to go and watch their team play. Now, if you're talking about some of those tickets going on those sites that sell at ridiculous amounts of money, then, okay, have that conversation, but let's find out where the tickets are really coming from. It was interesting this week, it seemed that they actually came out of the Liverpool ticket office. Now, I don't for 1 minute think they're coming out of the Manchester United ticket office, but they're coming out of somewhere, and it isn't the ordinary fans who are getting them in the ballot. That's for sure. So where are they coming from? Because the people I know that are doing everything they can every week to get in the ground, I'll do ask you a favour after a favour to get in. But that seems to be like a bad thing now. And when if you go and your ticket's cancelled and it wasn't in your name, you know, the person who's done you a favour, your mate who couldn't go for whatever reason, and they said, oh, you have my ticket this week, you owe me one for a couple of weeks. Yeah, they're getting banned. So it's all, you know, all right, I'll be a conspiracy theorist if you want. But I think what they're trying to do is cleanse all supports, all football supports, not just Manchester United. And I think the way they're doing it by, you know, looking at social media, seeing what people have written, seeing what people's thoughts are, what songs we sing. I don't sing that song, or that's, and telling us what our thoughts are, telling us that song, if we sing Liverpool, that's tragedy chanting, or that's poverty chanting. But no, it's not. because we know when we sang that first song first time, and we know what actually the sentiment behind it was. We're telling you that it is, and that song is that, and that song is this. Chelsea, whatever the aim, you know? And you heard it half time at Nottingham today, great big whole list of things if you couldn't do and couldn't say and had to look out at. I don't think it's the way forward. I think it's just a way of cleansing out that support to make it easier to bring in things that they need to do to make the game play not to a television spectacle.
Stock reader of the quiet life, because it's the one you'll never know.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.